Welcome and bienvenidos to Mariachi DNA, a puro mariachi podcast. Grab your favorite tequila, sit back and enjoy.
The second one?
Second podcast of this season.
Podcast.
Of season two of Mariachi USA podcast.
We're doing featuring a podcast. Cindy Shea.
Well, no, us first.
Oh, welcome, Anthony Tiger Medrano, director extraordinaire of Mariachi USA and second violin of Mariachi Campanas de America in San Antonio, home of, let's see, what's the name of the basketball team out of San Antonio? Relatively.
Five-time world champs.
Ay, por favor, ya empezó.
No, I don't want to get into this whole.
You know,
LA,
we've got
San
the Lakers. We've got the Los Dodgers.
We can do the in and out.
Dodger Blue.
Debate. I saw that Dodger game the other night.
The Dodger Blue is like Mariachi USA Blue. True blue.
I saw your jacket. You have a Dodger blue jacket, Mariachi USA.
Oh, pues
jacket.
Ya se corrió el chisme that I was at the Dodgers.
I'm sorry.
I have to tell you something, that there were like two or three couples behind us and they all knew about Mariachi USA. And I thought, oh my gosh, these people are, how do they know? Because I'm wearing a jacket that says Mariachi USA.
They will Dodger blue billboard.
Sometimes it's like, Tontita, you're not even thinking what you're wearing. And they said, one of them said, we're going to the one in San Diego because that's closer for us. I said, wait, but you're here at the Dodger game. Yeah, but we live down there. We come up for opening day every single year. And now we're going to go to Mariachi USA in San Diego. And I was so happy that they knew about it, which kudos to the marketing company. It's Michelle Pinedo Urban Marketing,
yes,
who has been marketing the heck out of our San Diego show.
Michelle.
And the Hollywood Bowl show. But it's so heartwarming. And somebody else says, oh, we get our tickets through your niece and nephew because they go every year. And so we go with them. And then we have another great fan, Alex Padilla, who buys 90 tickets for his friends and family that buy from him in the pool. And it's like, you know, give everybody a chance to get some of these seats, people.
Exactly.
We've been sold out, Tiger, since, let's see, our garden seats have been sold out almost since December. We still have great terrace seats. You know, if you want to buy some box seats, it's 4 or 6, and they're director's chairs, and you get a complimentary table for every two people. You can bring in your picnic, soft drinks, water in plastic, no cans. You can buy champagne, beer, and wine there. And it's just, I mean, imagine 4.5 hours nonstop puro mariachi and fireworks finale. The sing-along. Okay, let me see. What are the songs in the sing-along, Tiger?
Rodri, did you take your vitamins?
I did. I took my...
I can tell because I'm trying to introduce you. I'm trying to get to the beginning of the show, and we're already... You've already given out all the information. I was, you know...
I'm taking this fabulous... it's called Brain Revive that my doctor put together.
Man, it works.
It makes sure that your transportation system that takes the beat of the brain is working because, believe it or not, people... If you have foggy brain, especially after COVID, or even if you feel like your neurons are not connecting, it could very well be that little bus that takes the vitamin B to your cells in the brain are not functioning.
And that's right. Yeah.
Let me tell you, my neurons are firing off just fine.
No question about it. Because, ladies and gentlemen, I'm Tiger Tony Anthony from Mariachi USA director, and we have the producer and creator of Mariachi USA, Rodri, with us. I mean, well, she's always with us because this is her show. But that's the formal introduction. And you heard the walk into that.
But see.
That's what it's like working here at Mariachi USA, because you can't really just pause to, you know, for, you know, formalities. You gotta get going.
No, aquí no hay pause buttons. No. The pause para nada. Como decía mi madre, para atrás ni para coger gusto.
That's right.
So let's hit it.
We have a special guest that we're bringing in today. We mentioned it. Talk a little bit about who we have today.
It's a very sweet spot in my heart because in 1991, a year into Mariachi USA, I decided I wanted to put a female group together. And the only way to do it was to pull females from each of the groups. And so they all had different trajes. I remember Laura Sobrino was pregnant at the time with her first child. And she couldn't even put her traje on. So she showed up with a Mexican dress. And then, oh my gosh, Rebecca was there. There were so many young women that showed up, and there were 15 of them. And then after that, several mariachi, all female mariachis were born.
It was history making.
Indeed, history making. And
what year was this?
This was 1991.
91.
And fast forward, there are almost the same quantity of female mariachis as males in the United States currently, and growing.
Oh, yeah.
And we have a foundation, Mariachi USA Foundation, which was founded in 1991. And many of our professional musicians have gone through the foundation program. And I'm very proud to say that right now we have Garfield High School has an all-female mariachi, as do quite a few high schools in California. And you can speak to this, Tiger. We're going to have to do a special program on this because it's just too much. But just
let's save that for the special program.
Yes.
Let's bring in our guest for today.
Ay, ya me estás regañando.
I'm going to call her. No, because
sí, me estás regañando.
She's waiting for us.
Me estás callando. Me estás callando. She said she was waiting on her porch, rocking. She says, I'm here like an old lady, rocking, waiting for you guys to call me.
She's excited to be on.
Let's hit it, Cindy.
Right. Well, I'm going to call her right now live. This is just going to happen.
Oh,
let's just
good.
Do
so,
this.
While he's calling, then I get a chance to talk.
Hear the phone ring?
I hear the phone ring. Cálmate, Antonio.
Hi, Cindy. Hello. Cindy, we're live already. We're already recording. So we want to welcome you, and I'll let Rodri do the official welcomes, and we'll start going.
I've been blabbing about you and the group and your place in history. And it's often difficult to talk about ourselves, but you have so much, Cindy Shea, to tell us, founder of Mariachi Divas. Can you hear us okay?
I do.
Okay.
I think your parrot is outside. I can hear
is that your parrot?
I do not have a parrot. Oh. I was opening a door to my studio.
Oh. Which is, you know what, I'll just start off there. You are one of the, you know, there's a lot of mariachi musicians, directors, you know, groups. But you have your own studio, which is like, you know, an incredible thing to accomplish. But, you know, tell us a little bit about, you know, your history and what was your drive to, you know, become, you know, the owner and creator of this incredible mariachi, to where, you know, you've been, won Grammys and, have been very successful in the music genre all across the board. Share a little bit of the story with us.
And actually, let's take it a little bit further back before mariachi entered your realm and your love affair with jazz and your trumpet, because you're attached to that thing. It's like an appendix for you.
Yeah, I started playing trumpet at 8 years old. It was just a calling for me. I didn't find out till I was actually a professional trumpet player that my mom was in an all-female drum and bugle corps in high school called Las Señoritas.
Which no way. I didn't even know that.
Yeah, I didn't find that out till after I was already working with Divas. And she said kind of one day, by the way, and I thought, well, that's wild, because I had no idea. And I would always tell everybody, you know, oh, yeah, my mom played the clarinet in the band, and that's pretty much the only musician person I had in my family. So I wondered why I was so driven to music, because it wasn't like I grew up with people, you know, pushing an instrument on me or saying, you got to be a musician. It was very strange. So I think that's a neat connection.
And it was Las Señoritas in what school?
Yeah. Well, she went to Mark Keppel High School. So it's something within Monterey Park around here that was going on. I don't know where it was. I'd have to look it up. But Whoa. It was called Las Señoritas.
That's a fabulous name.
Right? I'm like, another idea. For the mariachi,
you know? No empieces, Cindy. Calm down. You've got enough on your plate.
I don't have time. I don't have time for another one.
I don't know how you do it. I don't know how you do it. You're either doing a cruise show, you're doing a U.S. tour, you're in the studio with, I don't know if you can talk about your latest. I'm going all over the place here because of my vitamin B overdose
that
here.
Sounds good. I would like one of those right now. B12 sounds great.
I'm going to step
back.
That's
the 50-year-old me talking right now. I would love a B12. Oh. You know, we've gone from tequila to B12.
From tequila. So wait, we missed what you said. That was a great line. So say it. We've gone from.
B12.
Oh, no. Wait a minute. You're cutting in and out. Did you move to somewhere?
I'm right here. Are you losing me?
Yeah, we're losing you.
Okay, let's just, we'll take a little minute to reconnect with you. I think you're there.
Let me see if it's better outside. I'm walking outside.
I think we had last year, was it?
With Chewy.
There we are.
Yeah, no, it was with Jose last year. He had to walk.
Oh my God, Jose Hernandez had to walk all over his rancho. He ended up in the ocean.
To find good reception. I can hear you now, Cindy. You there?
I'm outside, so it should be perfect reception.
It's good. Your phrase again is you used to ask for what, now you ask for what?
Oh, I said we went from asking for tequila shots to B12.
That's exactly right.
Pretty much. That's me at 50 now. So, well, yeah. So back to being a little kid, I chose the trumpet. I knew I was musically driven from a little age of 3 when I tapped on every keyboard I could find or guitar that I saw in a room. And it was just something I wanted to do. And as soon as we were able to play in the band, I knew I needed to. And I chose the trumpet. Believe it or not, you might be the only ones that know this TV show, because anybody else from younger generation wouldn't. But I used to watch a TV show called F Troop.
Yes.
And they had a bugler every time the show opened. And I said, I want to play that. And that's why I chose the trumpet. That is exactly the reason I loved reveille. So you often find me playing reveille for the horse races, William Tell overtures and charge and whatever it is. I just love reveille. And that's what drove me to the trumpet. Of course, being in the school, I was introduced to, first of all, classical music, and then at a young age, jazz. So by the time I was 14, I was already listening to Miles Davis. I was watching him in concert at the Hollywood Bowl. You know, I was transcribing solos from Clifford Brown and Lee Morgan. And I was heavily into Charlie Parker and everybody.
Yes.
And jazz became my absolute love at a young age in high school. And also education. I loved my band directors. And I knew at a young age I wanted to be a musician and I wanted to be a teacher. Both of those things. So that's where I led into my college years, starting off at Cal State Fullerton University as a music education major. And I spent, I probably had enough credits to have a degree plus, because I took so many music classes. But right when I was about to finish is when I met Arturo Sandoval. He came out from Florida for a clinic with the Pacific Symphony Orchestra, and I went to it, and he performed with them and did a clinic afterwards. And I met him, and he sat at the piano and he said, "Play me something." And I had my horn with me. And he said, "Play me something from Dizzy Gillespie," because I was his mentor. And I played a little Night in Tunisia. And then he said, "Play me something classical." And I played a classical piece for him while he accompanied me on the piano. And he said, "What are you doing? What's going on in your life?" And I explained, "I'm about to become a band director." And he said, "That sounds great, but I think you should study with me. And I'd like to offer you right here and now, like, a full ride scholarship. If you want to come to Florida International University, I would be your mentor and train you." And I said yes. And you got to understand, this is before cell phones, before social media, before YouTube. I mean, none of this stuff existed.
Email. So it was kind of
like, yeah, nothing. I was just like, he said, "Give me your number and I'll call you." So I had to give him like the house number to where my parents lived. And it was so weird. And within a week, he called and left this, you know, very long message saying, "Hey, I was serious. You have to do it officially now. We need a tape, a cassette tape from you of official audition of you playing, and send it in with your application," and so on. And within weeks, I was accepted. And I pretty much was disowned by my parents for a short time when I said, "Hey, by the way, I know I'm about to graduate, but I'm not going to, because I'm going to go to Miami.
Oy.
I'm going to Miami to start over and become a jazz performance major." And they just about lost it. And that's who I am. I just say, you know what? I'm going. And that's what I did. And I literally rented a minivan, drove from LA to Miami, dropped it off at Miami International Airport, and started over as a jazz performance major. And from there, came back home, and that's when the Mariachi Divas were born. But in between there, right out of high school is when I started playing salsa, which got me into the Latin music. I didn't just jump into mariachi as my first Latin music genre. It was actually salsa. Yari Morey invited me to be part of his band as an 18-year-old, actually 17, year old. I started college at 17, and my first gigs were playing with Celia Cruz because he was the group that accompanied her. So I was at the Playboy Jazz Festival, the Hollywood Bowl. I was touring, doing gigs with her all over the place, and that was my first introduction. And from that point on, I, you know, found myself playing with Johnny Pacheco and Canario at the Latin Quarter in New York, and I just became this little gringa salsera. And when I went to Florida, obviously I was ready for it because I was ready for that scene because I had already been engulfed in La Musica Tropical. I had actually not been introduced to mariachi music yet. But when I came back to LA from Florida, that's when I was asked to perform few of my first concerts, which were actually Mariachi USA. And I was probably 1999. It was with a group called Mariachi Las Alondras. And they needed a trumpet player, and somebody saw me in a salsa club and said, I think she could do this. And I said, sure, I'll take the challenge. And I did. And there were two concerts I was asked to do. It was that concert, and it was something called Divas en Concierto. And believe it or not, it said it was called Divas en Concierto. And I probably took the name from there, but who knows? And I was like, well, I didn't work this hard to just do this and drop out. So I said, I wanted to stick around and know more about this music, and I did. But the part that was lacking in me was the leadership part of Cindy Shea that wanted to create my own arrangements and my own style and compose and get a record deal and have music on the radio and all these crazy dreams that in that moment were crazy to people. But to me, they were realistic. They were, for me, it was normal. Like, why would you not want to dream about Grammys? Right.
Yeah, no, exactly. Like,
where are you thinking that it's okay to just be okay with whatever you made today on your gig and worry about tomorrow? And, oh, no, I'm not thinking about today or tomorrow or next week. I'm thinking about 10 years from now. Like, I want to make history. I want to do something not just for me, but I want to open doors for everybody, because I realized in that moment, hey, I'm Irish, Italian, American, and I fell in love with this music, not just mariachi, but Latin music in general. And I feel like I can be a gateway for others who have no idea what this music is about to also fall in love with it. And I thought, this is great. And my groups, so at that point I said, you know what? I want to do this on my own because I have a different idea of what I want. And it didn't mesh with what that group wanted. It just didn't. And I said, whoever wants to come with me, let's do this. And whoever doesn't, we'll find the people that do. And that's exactly how Mariachi Divas was born. And that was in 1999. So the same year I did, probably the same year I did the bowl, I started Divas. Like, it literally just happened fast. I did a few gigs and I was like, you know what? I want to do this on my own. And one of the girls told me that I had told them when I first started the group, in 10 years, I'm going to win my first Grammy. And in 2009, I did. And I find that funny because I don't remember saying that. But it was Nelly Cortez from Trio Ellas that told me that. Cindy, you don't remember this, but you told me that you're going to win a Grammy in 10 years. And I laughed about that because that's me dreaming. I mean, if you ask me today at 50, I'll tell you something else that's going to happen in 10 years, I'm sure, you know, that I'm going to have that I don't have today. And that's just the way I live my life.
And just for our fans, Nelly Cortez and Suemi were part of Las Alondras because yours truly over here helped put that group together. And I remember all you rehearsing here at my house on more than one occasion, and Laura Sobrino running rehearsals. And people just, you know, that's why we're doing this podcast, Cindy, because it's so important to document how these things happen, how they get started, and the vision,
right,
and the dreaming, you know, the bright awake dreaming that occurs, because it's a reality check for all of us. It's not just a dream anymore. You know, those of us that, and like you said, it's opening that door or that window for, and trailblazing. As a matter of fact, that's why I don't wear heels anymore, because I've worn them down trailblazing.
There you go.
Very much like you. And and so when you look at where you were, where you are, and how many, you know, opportunities you have offered young women who have then gone on to either do their own groups or touched, mm-hmm, and not just women, but you have also influenced male musicians and recorded male groups. I know that one of the groups that you have is Mariachi Espectacular with Oscar Villa, whom I had the opportunity to work with last year. And it's a phenomenal group, and he rehearses the heck out of his guys. And it's become a show group that I'm hoping we'll be able to play at the Bowl soon, or even in San Diego. But the discipline that you have for yourself is second to none. And the discipline that you demand of your musicians is equally, you know, fortified by that non-elusive dream that you once had. So our hat off to you in creating the opportunity for yourself, because I feel that that's what we've had to do. There's no waiting around. We weren't going to sit around and wait to see who was going to maybe hire us or give us an opportunity. No, we created the opportunity. We trailed and trailed and trailed to get to where we are. And we don't hold back credit to those whom we need to credit along the way. And we bring people with us to join on that trail, because it's not an easy trail to blaze, and it's not an easy trail to stay on.
You know,
no, it's really easy to follow the crowd, and it's really easy to duplicate things that have already been done. It's really hard to be unique, and it's really hard to follow your heart, because people don't like things that are new. And unfortunately, in this business, the more success you have, you know, the more people you have around you that are going to tell you can't do that, or you're not supposed to be doing something. And that's unfortunate, but that's the fight. That's the struggle. And that's holding on to what you believe. You know, it's right. Very easy to fit in, and it's very hard to not fit in.
Right.
But you gotta stay true to yourself. And that if I was doing something that I didn't believe in, it would be wrong. But I believe in everything I do. And I think that's the message I want to give to anybody. If you have a dream, you got to go for it.
Exactly. You know, for myself, you know, I call myself an old dog sometimes in this art form. There it is, right on cue, old dog. That's my inner old dog.
That couldn't have been more perfect.
Right, but you know.
Wow, is that a button? Are you in the studio? Are you pushing a dog
I'm
button?
Producing this thing. No, that's our
cool.
Guard dog. Every time there's a mariachi not performing well, he barks. So something's going on. We got to go fix. No, but honestly. You know, as a witness and a participant in this art form for, you know, over 40 years, you know, when I recognize, you know, how we got here and what it took, you know, like you said, people are afraid of change, you know, and you know, your journey, your experiences, your connections with some of the incredible artists and some of the incredible venues of the world. You know, to see what entertainment is, to see how people react to live music, you know, and how they connect, you know, spiritually to it. You know, you have brought that into, you know, your group, into your mix, the same as Rodri has brought that into the producing of a show, and same as I have brought it into performing. When you see outside yourself and you really, you know, witness and learn, you know, what entertainment and what connecting is, you create something new. And it's something that you have done with your group, is you've created a new space of entertainment for mariachi music. And I recognize that. And I think it's just incredible. I want everybody to recognize that. I want everybody to understand that, you know, we're just not crazy. And we just, you know, it's not in our head. It is in our head, but it's in our heart, because we've seen it. And we've pulled from all that to create something. And your creation of Mariachi Divas, you know, you changed it, you really you made it, you know, respectable in the sense that, you know, like, you know, I'm with Campanas, you know, and sometimes we've been called bastardizers of music, right, of mariachi music, because we added drums or we did something different. And, you know, I respect the traditionalists and the purists. But, you know, some of us, you know, want to grow a little more. When my growing up listening to groups like Chicago and Santana, and, you know, I want to incorporate that kind of, you know, performance and that music also, you know, to create my own space. Tell me a little bit more about your creation of Divas and how you chose entertainers to be in your group. And I say entertainers because, you know, musicians are one thing, but I've seen your group, and I, you know, each one of them by themselves can hold a concert hall and a solo performance, and you've been able to, you know, bring them all together and into an ensemble. Tell me a little more about that creation.
Well, let me back up a second, because I heard everything you said, and I think it's important to comment on the traditionalist and purist, because that was a battle. This is my 26th year doing Mariachi Divas now that I've just entered. And it wasn't easy, and it wasn't always roses and flowers and autographs. It was a lot of people against whatever we were doing, not just because we were women, because I was a gringa running it, or because we were multicultural, because the style was different, or like you said, we added different instrumentation. So just to clarify on the traditionalist or the purist, everybody needs to remember that the mariachi started out without trumpets. So if that's the case, I never had a place. I didn't have a chance at the beginning of this. You know, there were no trumpets. Right. There were no guitarrón. There was no vihuela. There was a guitarra golpe. There was a harp playing the bass parts, you know, and it has evolved and evolved from one trumpet to two trumpets to now three trumpets for some groups, to harp, to accordion, to
10 violins.
20, no, yeah, was it? There are 25 violins.
Yeah. To whatever. The ear wants to hear, you know, and I just think we need to remember that. Yes. Also, my concept for the divas at the beginning when adding other instrumentation was, what are we listening to on the radio? So when you turn on, and back then it was the radio, it was not a cell phone or YouTube, okay?
We just
okay,
dated
what
ourselves.
Are we listening to on the radio? Whoa. Yeah, I need to clarify.
Yeah,
I was listening in 1999, in the year 2001 and 2, 3, 4, 5. I was listening to Pepe Aguilar, mariachi pop, adding saxophone or adding a piano or synthesizer or electric guitar. I was listening to Alejandro Fernandez adding, you know, the congas or the bongo, and that mariachi pop sound was everywhere. I was listening to Rocío Dúrcal with flutes and timpani.
Right,
I was listening to Vicente Fernandez, who they said, you got to listen to Chente. Okay, I'm going to listen. If I'm not mistaken, that's a Hammond B organ in Volver, Volver.
Yes.
Is it? That's what I heard. So, you know, and these are things like, why is it okay for the recording if that's what people love? But when you actually go do a live, it's not okay to add it. Those are the concepts I never understood. You understand? So that was my way of thinking. You got to understand, I'm coming from somebody outside of the genre, and I'm jumping into it saying, well, this is what's popular. This is what people are listening to. And I personally like it too. So why can't we? Now, of course, I'm not going to go and take Sonda La Negra and throw, you know, drums all over it and hack or something that is so traditional. There are some things you don't touch.
Exactly.
And I respect that, and I've always respected that. But if you're playing a bolero, that's me mucho, why can't you have a little maraca? If you're playing a cumbia, why can't you have a guira or a guiro? If you're playing, you know, flamenco rumba, you know, something like that, why can't you add a little percussion or a cajon, you know?
Or some sax in Si Nos Dejan.
Right. And just on that note about the saxophone, I want you to know personally, Anthony, that my son Tony, was so inspired at the Hollywood Bowl when he watched us last year, when he saw your group come on and he saw the saxophone with the mariachi. And he is in one of my, I'm a teacher now, living my dream. And I do have a lot of middle schools here in the Hacienda Heights community, La Puente School District. And he's playing trumpet in it because I told him that saxophone is not part of the mariachi because he's actually an alto sax player. But he found his way in, and he's playing saxophone on the song Cariño. I'm playing a solo in it. Excellent. He said, Mom, I'm sorry. I went to Mariachi USA, and I saw a saxophone in the mariachi. So now here I am trying to be the traditionalist purist here. He's like, no, Mom, I saw the saxophone at Mariachi USA, and I'm going to play sax. So I let him, and he's loving it. He loves to come out and play that Cariño song on the sax. And he owns it in that traje. And I say, you know what? You know, this is beautiful. This is the new generation finding their way of loving mariachi, whatever
exactly.
It is. Whatever it is. Okay, so going now.
But you know what? That's exactly how it happened. And I'm just going to digress here a little bit, take a little side street. And Roland San Miguel, Bel Ortiz's son, is the father of that sax player that was playing in Campanas. And that's exactly what happened. Here, Roland has been playing guitarrón all his life. His grandmother, Bel Ortiz, taught those kids piano. They fell in love with the sax, and they have Roland Jr. actually has a jazz band, but they also put together a mariachi, him and his brother, and his brother also plays sax, but they also play mariachi, traditional mariachi, and look at the influence that's come up. Juan Ortiz influence as well, Bella's husband, and current, he's still performing with Mariachi Campanas de America. So,
and I love that.
Yeah, look at that. Look at that. Yeah.
And they were an influence for divas too. And, you know, a lot of people don't know, you might ask that, like, what were your influences when you actually joined, you know, or you actually started Mariachi Divas? Well, I was listening to Cuberto Perez, you know, Mariachi 2000.
Yeah.
And, you know, I heard that trumpet and I said, hey, trumpets can play high notes too in the mariachi. That's cool. Trumpets can play jazz too. And of course, Mariachi Vargas. I mean, I was listening to all of them. I am a complete believer that in order to play a music, you have to go backwards and you got to listen to where it started.
Absolutely.
If I'm going to play jazz, I'm going to listen to Louis Armstrong before I listen to Miles Davis or, you know, whoever today's big artist is or Wynton Marsalis. I'm going to go back to Louis, you know, and I'm going to hear bebop before I hear the new age jazz. You know, so same with mariachi. You have to go backwards. You got to hear where it's from. And then with that, you create your own sound. Obviously, yes. The sound is going to change. It's going to change with time. But that's what I believe. You know, I want to go back, Cindy, to your question.
Yeah, no, I was just going to say, like with campanas, I'll just speak to on our behalf. People will say, well, is it a novelty act? You know, and I say, no, it's not a novelty act because, you know, if you know, we play our sound, right? We do our you know, mixture of, you know, all the instruments and create our own sound. But, you know, we play La Negra tradition. We play the boleros, the sones, you know, the all those things, all those other that make up mariachi. So we're mariachi plus, right? You can never take that out of us. You can never take the word mariachi out of our DNA because we can play. And it's the same with divas. You know, we all stand together when we do the finale and we're playing, you know, pure traditional ranchera music, you know. And so I just want to point that out that, you know, that's who we are. And I'm very proud of it.
With your sound. Exactly. With your sound. And my trumpet sound is never going to sound like Miguel Martinez, you know, or Cipriano, because I'm Cindy Shay. And my influences are going to be for those who I studied with. So I'm going to have, it's kind of like Selena explaining her Spanish and her English. It's not going to be the perfect English. It's not going to be the perfect Spanish. That's me. And that's my sound. And that's who I am. And that's the sound of Mariachi Divas. And that's what I've created. So, you know, some will love it, some won't. And it is what it is. But you're going to build your fan base along the way. And you're going to have your own sound. And I don't believe in duplication. I don't. I believe in being who you are. And I don't want to be, I don't want to sound like anybody else. But I want to try to respect the music as much as I possibly can.
Exactly.
But You can't become a dialect. You know, it's very hard to master a dialect, you know, if you weren't raised speaking it. And it's the same thing as an instrumentalist with a style. You know, I can't just sound like somebody who's been playing mariachi all their lives. I'm going to have the influence of jazz, salsa, and classical music along with the mariachi sound. And I think it's funny when the student musicians ask me, hey, I have to know, how do you get that vibrato? And I said, well, I'm trying to figure that out too. Those are the things that challenge. We're all learning. And I explain that to people. If there's one music that you cannot challenge, you've never completely learned it, it's mariachi. There's always a new song tomorrow. There's always an old song you don't know. There's always a style you're trying to master. And I think that's what kept me here.
And the testament, the true testament to the success of your philosophy is the number of Grammys you've been nominated for. I think it's what, 12, 13 now? And the ones.
8 American, 2 Latin, and we've won 2 American. See, in 2009 and 2014.
I can't keep up. But that is the truest testament where you have fellow musicians your fellow musicians are applauding you by giving you that award, by telling you, yes, you're on the right track. Yes, we applaud this. Yes, we love it. So keep up the work you're touring. Look at your successful tours. You know, you're at Disney, you're on cruises. You just got in from Chicago. I was really surprised that we were able to do this because I know you were in Chicago teaching and performing all this last week. So you're nonstop.
So I have a great announcement to make that I have not announced to anybody publicly yet. You would like to be the first to have it.
Let's hear it.
Wait, drum roll.
It's a big one from Texas.
Oh, all right. You're joining Campanas. Come on in, sister. That's fine.
You've heard of TMEA?
Yes, of course. Texas Music Education Association. That's the...
So I've been invited to be the clinician, the main clinician for 2026.
That is excellent. You know, it's a very, it's high end. I mean, you know, it's not a local, you know, like not to dog local stuff, but yeah, no, that's an honor and congratulations on that.
And I'm super unbelievably honored and excited. This is a huge thing for me because I told you education is so vital to me and working with the kids right now is something I really value. So this is something I'm looking very forward to. February 10th through the 14th. It's a big deal. I get to be with the best of the best, the all-stars of this whole thing. And, you know, I'm stepping into the shoes of that people have done it before me, like, you know, Jose Hernandez and Steve Carrillo and Beto Jimenez,
right,
and Jimmy, who just did it this last year. So this is a big shoes to fill. And as a woman, being the first, you have no idea how good that feels.
Bravo.
I'm so excited to announce. You're the first I get to announce it to. So I'm so excellent. Incredibly excited.
Well-deserved and overdue.
Congratulations.
And just to say, because I did a few career days these last few weeks, and I couldn't believe the amount of branches I had on my tree when I had to talk about my career with the kids in 20 minutes and explain what I do for a living. And I said, guys, like, this is really hard to do because I don't just run Mariachi Divas. I have so many branches. And if I could encourage you guys, the kids, to know how to do many things, because you never know what you're going to need. And the more you can do, the more value you are for yourself and for others, including being, you know, able to speak two languages or three languages at that. También puedo hablar en español. Entiendo todo. And I had to teach myself, you know, in this business. So I was going through, and I'd like to share that with you if it's possible, because if I can encourage other mariachi musicians or directors to know that, hey, you can do more than just be a director of a mariachi or just be part of a mariachi, I would love to see more of this. So I do have my own publishing label. It's Shea Luna Music Publishing. Why do I have it? Because I'm writing music. I write music for myself, and I write music for others. I'm also currently about to sign, which I just made the deal, with Limited Music through Warner Chappell Music Publishing, where I'll write music and go through them now. So I'm super excited for that.
That's wonderful.
I also have my own recording studios. You said it's 7th Avenue Recording Studios, and I have my own record label, 7th Avenue Records, which I've signed on different artists now, including encouraging my divas to make singles and to do their own thing and be their own person. And we have that's going on right now too. So I'm also encouraging my own members to go for it and to release their own music, because when you're part of a mariachi group, you don't necessarily get that attention as a singer, because it's an ensemble,
right?
But right, as a solo artist, they get that attention, and I want that for them. I want to see them grow in different areas. So we have that also. I also am teaching at Redlands University as a professor of mariachi. I'm so excited about that at Redlands. And I have now I'm the music director of the Hacienda La Puente. which I'm excited about, and I have
so
also
you gave
mariachi
up sleep for mariachi.
Yeah. So and then she's and then she's texting me. Here I am, like at 1 o'clock in the morning. Finally,
oh,
I'm
sorry.
Able to go to sleep. And here, I always know who it is texting me at 1 o'clock in the morning. Hey, Rodri, what do you think about this song? Hey, Rodri, what about this in the playlist? Do you think San Diego's going to like this? I go, holy shit. Whenever
well,
I hear my phone ding at 1 o'clock, I know it's you.
Let me tell you, I did learn my lesson on sleep. And believe it or not, I do find my hours ever since
good.
My stroke.
Yep.
My stroke in 2022, September 12th.
I thought that was going to slow you down.
Yeah, no, I
worked the opposite.
Let me tell you. It worked opposite, but in a different way. You won't find me doing 12 hours of mariachi gigs in parties anymore. But you will find me creating in the studio or setting up, you know, things for my classes or teaching where I'm a little more calm and I'm not overexerting myself and my body. I can't do as much anymore. Not just because of my age, but because of having a major brain trauma, which, you know, a subarachnoid hemorrhage, a hemorrhage in my brain, which could have killed me. So I don't want that to happen again. So yes, I'm still going, but I'm doing it differently. And I definitely have delegated a lot of things in my life to help. And I want to definitely reiterate that to everybody listening. It is not a reward to go and post online that you just did 22 hours out of a 24-hour day of mariachi work. You're killing yourself.
Correct.
You don't have to do that. And there's no race. You're not competing against everybody. Oh, I got more hours. Okay, you got money in your pocket, but that money ain't going to mean anything when you're 6 feet under. So you got to remember that.
Or pouring it into a doctor's bill.
Exactly. It's all going to catch up with you later. And that's what I did. I just ran myself dreaming. And I'm glad I have the work ethic I do and that I went crazy. But I did forget along the line that you got to sleep, eat, go to the gym, and take care of yourself too. And also take time for family, because that is part of your healing and your health is allowing time for your family and your kids and cooking and doing normal things that people are supposed to do in life and having a glass of wine every now and then that Roger always invites me for, and I need to make that happen.
I invite you for champagne.
You do. So I just, I do, it is important that I do say I'm crazy and I, it looks like I don't sleep, but I actually do. I just really focus that on my hours. I am awake, that I am productive, and I'm dreaming. And I know that life is short. So it's like, what am I going to leave behind? What legacy am I going to leave behind? Not just for myself, for my kids, for my band members, for the world. I have recorded over 350 songs. I have self-produced 20 albums. We're leaving music behind, and that's something special. Not only that, more music and more compositions and collaborations, which I'm so excited about, doing more collaborations and building a bridge, not just between us and soloists, but even other mariachis, which I've connected, for example, which I haven't announced anywhere yet either. You're getting it all first here, but I reached out to Mariachi Los Camperos, and I said, you know, it'd be really beautiful to see two mariachis collaborating together, doing something, and I would like to invite you to do something with me for a future song or album.
That's
because
wonderful.
People don't see that. They right. just see soloists. They just see the mariachi with the soloist.
Right.
I don't want to name a name, but I'm just giving examples. And mariachis don't bridge with each other. There's that camaraderie, you don't see it unless you're in a festival and you're told you're going to work and you're going to do a finale together on stage. And it's like the only time you see it. And it should be happening more through recordings and more and more. We need to bridge that, put that bridge together, especially between female and male groups. We should come together and be one. So I'm so looking forward to doing more with other mariachis and encouraging other mariachis to write and collaborate together. So
well,
I'm
Cindy,
hoping for
you
that.
Know, you
we have a pending project, by the way. We're not even going to talk about it here.
No. We're going to have to do a whole other thing. You know, you're an inspiration and so many levels. And thank you for sharing
you.
It personally, you know, their message of health and well-being. You know, we surrender a lot as musicians, you know.
And we don't know how to say no because people, right. we know innately, and I'm not a musician, but I innately know it's hard to say no when we know what the cause and effect is of providing music and entertainment to people. We know what they walk away with. So it's good that you have developed a different discipline in your life to create wholeness for yourself and longevity. I know that you lost both your mom and your dad within a year's span, and that had to kick in, you know, big reality check for you with your children in leaving that to having that testimonial of history and being there for them in a healthy way. So bravo to you. Thank you for being on our show. We are going to see you live in San Diego at the brand new Rady Shell. It's a
so
beautiful
excited.
Venue. I know. And
super excited.
We've got great music lined up. We're not going to give too much away, but Cindy's putting together a fantastic show along with Mariachi Nuevo Tecalitlan, Mariachi Los Reyes, and Mi Tierra Ballet Folclórico. And we have Mikey, who's going to be doing a serenade number
guest
that we love to do as a guest appearance.
Yeah.
Yes. He does a great imitation of Juan Gabriel.
One of your guys there.
Yes. Another.
Also, he's from San Diego. So.
Yes.
So
cool. We spent some time with him last night.
We told him the only reason we're hiring him is because it's one less hotel I have to pay for.
There you go.
But he was here last night and spoke your praises as well.
Cindy, share your handles on social media and stuff, you know, so people can keep up with you and see what's going on.
Keep up with her, por favor.
I mean, Mariachi Divas, you'll find us, Mariachi Divas on Instagram, on TikTok, Mariachi Divas Oficial, of course, Facebook, for those who still use a Facebook, Twitter and all that kind of stuff. We're everywhere.
Well, thank you again for being on this podcast. You know, I just like again, I love that we're able to discuss these things and share with the general public, you know, who we are, you know, and not just, you know, they only see us 1 hour a day on, you know, in front of them but they're talking to family and you know, they just hear the music in the background and they don't really see us. Right. And now they can hear us and see us and know that we're all human, that we're all passionate about this.
And we have real lives.
Yeah. And but
and, take a listen to our latest album, 25 Aniversario, that we released last year. Most importantly, a song that I got to co-write with Becky G, an amazing writer, a writing team called Bluetooth. So check that out also.
Nice.
And listen to some of the evolution of mariachi mixed with some, you know, global artists, which is pretty cool.
Well, thank you again. Thank you again, Cindy Rodri.
What are you taking? Because I know mine is just B12 and B6 and B4 and B2, but what the hell are you taking?
You know, I'm going to tell you what I'm taking. I'm every day I wake up and I take in life and I say, this is a gift.
Yep.
And if I only get today, I'm going to make the absolute best of it. And I'm not going to waste my time ever again on nonsense. You know?
Absolutely.
And thank you, Roger, because you've always been there when I'm having those days where I feel beaten down. And as musicians, we do, as artists, the world can beat us down sometimes. And I've called you and I've told you I don't know how to be happy. There's days that I have those days, and I think every artist does. And you've been the one to lift me up many times and remind me who I am and what my purpose is and how I need to stay focused and remember what's important. And, you know, I've been very positive, you know, since our talks and since my stroke, you know, and life is waking up and seeing whether it's rain, sun, or whatever it is, it's life, and I get to live it, and not everybody gets second chances. So I don't take a day for granted, and that is my drive. That is my vitamin. It truly is.
Amen.
Bravo. Bravo. Amen, bravo. Sister. Bravo.
Well, we'll see
and
you soon.
Thank you for all you do. Both of you, thank you for all you do.
It's a privilege.
For the platform you give to so many beautiful memories, because when they look back on their careers, so many people are not going to remember the quinceañera we did from 5 to 7 on that Saturday, but we're going to remember standing on that stage when the, you know, Hollywood Bowl turns, you know, exactly, at Maria Quince, and our new memories at the Rady Shell, they're going to last with us for a lifetime. You're giving that opportunity to so many, and you're so, I know you have so many blessings because of all the blessings you give to others. So thank you so much.
Thank you. You know, you all are the legacy. I'm a mere guardian of that legacy. I've always made it very clear that the legacy comes from something much, much bigger than any of us. And you all right now are creating that new legacy. I'm just a guardian of that legacy to make sure that it's not forgotten, that it's not shortchanged, it's not taken for granted, and that it is not hushed. So our greatest, greatest form of making any kind of a statement is to be on a Hollywood Bowl stage, on a Rady Shell stage, and perform for the thousands of people that show up because they agree with what we're doing. So thank you. Thank you, my friend.
Bye, Cindy.
Thank you
Take
so
care.
Much. Soon. It was great talking to you.
We love
great
you.
Okay,
bye.
Bye-bye. Wow, Rodri. That was beautiful.
I want to go get a gelato now just to calm down.
I'm going to get a tequila just to calm up and then get a gelato.
We have to call Francisco Jarra to give us some of that $350 glass of of tequila he gave us over at Pancho Villas and Rancho Cucamonga.
Like that, but we might have to get the $8 one just to get through. But
that is so invigorating and so motivating. And she is like that, you know, 24/7. She is a mariachi's mariachi. She is a woman's woman. She is an entrepreneur's entrepreneur.
She's a musician's musician.
Leave no one behind. Right. Truly, she walks the talk. And
I'm always excited when I hear divas. I love working with them because details matter. And she's a detail person. And I know she never disappoints. And the people in San Diego, when they see the show, they're going to say she didn't disappoint.
And the phenomenal aspect of what you and I are doing right now by creating this podcast, which is also creating history, is that when those that are listening see the performance and they say, oh, that's Cindy, I know about her, and they mention it to the people that they are with, it just gives that full body and vibrance to that person who steps on a stage with a persona, but they go, oh, but I know what she did, this and this and that, and she's done this and this and this. It hits your heart, you know, tenfold of this is what has carried her to that stage. And this is what she has created along the way. It's very different. And that's why it's so important to listen to these podcasts or read and just empower yourself with that knowledge, not just as our foundation kids do, which they automatically do, but just to the fans that buy that ticket. Yeah. Know who you're going to go see. And it just makes the connection so much stronger.
You know, I always go back to when people hire mariachis and they just hire just for background, you know, they just want the piñata and they want, you know.
We want ambiance.
And then they say, you know, I'm paying this much for a mariachi for an hour.
Oh.
I said, no, you're paying this much for a mariachi for a lifetime of work, of struggle, of artistry, of Cindy's life. You know, that's what you're paying for, and it's a privilege and an honor, you know, to have someone like her, you know, be at your fiesta or party or concert. And like all of us, you know, we've put in a lifetime of work, not just for the 1 hour, you know. So when you cringe at the price, you know, remember you're hiring professionals. You know, you can't have Elton John for $75 an hour.
Of course,
in your backyard.
And you
party.
Know, interestingly enough, that you bring that up, I get that too. People will leave comments saying, "Oh, that's so expensive for mariachi." I've had that. Yeah. Less now, but I've had it for a mariachi show. You're charging that much? And I said, well, let's see. We're at the Hollywood Bowl. It's the number one venue in the United States, and probably the number one venue in the entire world. Home of the Philharmonic. You go and pay $700, $1,000, $2,000 to see Andrea Bocelli. And you see the Stones and Barbra Streisand. And you see great, you know, Pearlman, and you pay that yeah. much money, yet you question. We're there for 4.5 hours right. of puro mariachi. And I'm not talking about 4 or 5 member band. I'm talking about 14 to 17 yeah. members. And
we
one
have
of the
cast
things
of over 100, I believe.
And yes, that play. I pride myself on, Tiger. And here I do have to step in and say that I was very adamant about bringing up the pay rate of mariachis here in Los Angeles and in California, because they used to get paid, you know, measly little $20 an hour
yeah.
to do a chamba. And that just was unfair.
Yeah.
And I am glad that, you know, the groups are at a place where they are earning the money that they deserve and more.
Right.
And you are absolutely right. It's you're paying for so much history and culture mm-hmm. and to be entertained. Where else do you get 4.5 hours of nonstop mariachi? Because there's a reason why I MC my show. I don't talk a lot. I talk when you make me talk, I talk. The rest
right.
of the
no,
time,
no.
I'm like, you're asking me, you know, lengthen it. We need some time. We got to hook up some microphones. This show is not about talking. We do that maybe a little bit in Halftime Jam where we get everybody up and dancing. There's no intermission at Mariachi USA anywhere. We just play the music and get people up and dancing and off we go. There's no time to chit chat. You know, it's like, no.
Well, you asked the question, where else can you see it? Well, we see it at the Hollywood Bowl. Where else? Now in San Diego.
We're so excited about that Rady Shell. Oh, my goodness.
All right, well, let's. I got to get to work then. I got to
get to work too.
Cindy's got me, I got to do something, you know.
You know, I have to mention something now that we're talking about work, because there is a corporate and a business side to this. All of this is business, but there's the creative and then there's the business. And we are thanking once again Verizon, who is Mariachi USA is presented by Verizon this year mm-hmm. and sponsored by U.S. Bank. And U.S. Bank's focus is on assisting the Latino community in creating wealth for themselves and for their families, and teaching young students, high school students, to, you know, what it's like. Start your, you know, your wealth management now, your wealth building now, because we need that wealth, you know, that we still need that power of wealth. And I'm going to stop there.
I agree with you.
And then, of course, this is the first year that ASU, Arizona State University, is joining us.
Nice.
And ASU bought Feedom here in downtown LA, mm-hmm. which is the, it's a design center. And they are doing a contest to the winners will create 3 of. And as you all know.
Roderick, we're going to have to do another episode on your costumes and this whole thing. I think, you know, because.
But I'm so excited because students, imagine design students from ASU that are actually going to design 3 of those costumes.
Isn't, we should have one on the show. We should call one and say, you know, how excited are you? And just talk about the whole thing. I think it's an incredible thing.
And we're going to bring them on stage just to say awesome. A quick hello. And you know how quick those hellos are. Hello, goodbye.
Oh, yeah. You're going to walk across stage nonstop.
So thank you, Arizona State University, who is very involved in offering scholarships to. Did you know that there was 86,000 alumni ASU living in Southern California?
What?
Yes. And the president of ASU has actually grown the attendance to, I believe it's at 80,000 right now in Phoenix, Arizona. We're going to talk more about that. As a matter of fact, one of our upcoming guests, we'll get to chit-chat on that. We'll but for me, especially now, we need to have more scholarships present for our youth here in Los Angeles. If you can't get it anywhere else, ASU is offering some great opportunities.
Right.
So
right.
Thank you. And then, of course, Univision. Where would we be? Univision has always been there at the helm with our community and sponsoring and supporting the traditions of our community, such as right. Mariachi. Mm-hmm. So thank you for all of our corporate sponsors that make it possible for us to do the spectacular fireworks that we do both in San Diego and at the Hollywood Bowl. Saturday, June 28th, 6 to 10:30 p.m. And at the Rady Shell, Saturday, June 14th, celebrate Father's Day weekend. It's a great place to take pups. And that starts at 6 and we go to 10. You know, they have a different curfew there because there's a lot of naval ships.
Right.
And
there's a lot of regulations, maritime regulations.
Maritime regulations. And we can only do, you know, fireworks.
Right.
The kind of fireworks that are shot into the air, it comes down into the ocean, and you know the little fishies don't want to be like doing tequila shots with our fireworks.
Well, you know,
we heard that the boats come out to listen to the concerts. I'm willing to bet that they're going to have record flowing out there on the boats for mariachi because the word gets out, and they're going to say,
yeah.
"Hey." Let's go listen to the concert over out in the bay.
So we need everyone there to
wave at the boats.
To wave at the boats.
I want to go now. I'm so excited. I'm like a kid in a candy store.
Okay. I think we
it's time for gelato.
We split this into two episodes. We've gone along. But
ADM. ADM, as you all know, ADM is Ay Dios Mio, and I'm an Ay Dios Mio person through and through. But Tiger, thank you so much for making this possible for us. You're just...
Wait a minute.
He also doubles up as our engineer.
I make this possible because you make me possible. So
por favor.
That's how we work. It's a
mutual admiration society love fest here.
And you know what, Rodri mentioned, you know, how our sponsors it. If you're out there listening and you'd like to sponsor, you'd like to be in this, you know, this thing, you know, contact, you know, Rodri over here. I think it's very important, you know, for those lovers of music who are heading foundations now, who are owners of big businesses, banks, lawyers, and everything, you know, who are trying to find a way to give back to the culture. Our foundation is a great way, you know, our shows are a great way. Bring the show, you know, let them see us, right?
And funding cutbacks is not going to stop us.
Right.
We will continue to provide grants to schools for after-school programs and in-school programs, and we do not rely on anyone to make us with funds. That will not stop us.
Right. So
regardless.
Let's stay strong, Mariachi country. All right. Love you, Rodri. Bye.
Bye. Woo! Mariachi. Pasión
y tradición. Pasión y tradición. If you sing El Rey, you have Mariachi DNA.
Mariachi USA. The Mariachi capital of America.